invite you to turn with me in your Bibles or your bulletins in Galatians chapter 5, and we'll be reading verses 1 through 6. Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. This is the word of God. For freedom, Christ hath set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of the slavery. For I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obliged to keep the whole law. You are severed from Christ, you who will be justified by the law. You have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you provided freedom to us through the work of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you sent your only Son, our Lord Jesus, to die on the cross to set us free, and that you made this freedom known into our hearts through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's why we today can confess that you are our Lord, that you are our Savior. And we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we have to look at this important reminder in your word about this freedom that is ours in Christ. May you help us to see it from our hearts. May you help us to take this freedom into our hearts so that we will grow in our faith and the understanding of what you have done, continue to do in our lives, and will do at the final day. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to start this message today by reading a quote by a sociologist named Robert Pellat. He says like this: freedom is perhaps the most resonant, deeply held American value. Yet, freedom turns out to mean being left alone by others, not having other people's values, ideas, or styles of life forced upon one. Being free of arbitrary authority in work, family, and political life. And to this statement, Phil Rikon, a former pastor of 10, concludes, what Americans really want is freedom to be left alone. Now, when I look at this quote, I think that this is not only applicable to Americans. In fact, this is applicable to every single human being. And I have seen that firsthand by watching two toddlers growing in my house. One 3 years old and a half, and the other one a year old and a half. Today, this week, when I was picking Sam from preschool, I asked one of his teachers, how is he doing? And they told me, he knows how to say no. And I said, yes, I know that. I wish he knows how to say yes. I think I have only ever heard him saying yes once. And that's part of our natures, probably also part of our sinful nature. But we have also, not just here in America, But around the world experienced a big challenge with what has happened these past 2 years, in which freedom has been challenged for all of us. Again, you look at around the world and the challenge has been a global challenge where there has been many restrictions that create troubles in people's minds and people's hearts. And then you can see how people struggle with those challenges by the fact that people go to the streets, not just here in America, but around the world, and protest against any rule, any law that is being imposed upon them. That's the challenge that people have faced, and then they protest. But I wish we will have the same attitude regarding when our freedom in Christ is being challenged. And that's what Paul is actually encouraging the Galatians to do. He's saying, look what you have. It's a wonderful treasure. It's gold. He has been given to you by the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. You have this freedom. Stand firm for this freedom. More than what people stand firm outside, more than what even my son stand firm when he say no, let us all stand firm for the freedom that we have received in Christ. And as we look at these verses today, there are three things that I see Paul doing through them. One is that he gave us a sentence or a statement which is a reminder that works for all of us Christians, but it's also that statement can be a challenge for anyone who is not yet a believer, and we will see that. And then he challenged all of us to stand firm for this statement that he gave us. And then the third thing that he does is he explains why it is important that you stand firm for that statement that he gave us. So what is the statement or the reminder? Paul says, for freedom, Christ has set us free. For freedom, Christ has set us free. And remember, the context of this letter is that the Galatians has been invaded by the Judaizers who were preaching that salvation through Christ or by faith in Christ alone was not enough, that they needed to have circumcision and keeping the law in order to be saved. And that was stealing the freedom from them. And this is why Paul says, for freedom Christ has set us free. Even though that might sound like a very simple statement, it is important that we understand what he is saying there. Because when we think about freedom or the freedom that we have in Christ, we can limit that freedom to being delivered from eternal condemnation. That eventually one day we will appear before the throne of God and we will be saved and we will not experience eternal condemnation in hell. We can limit that freedom to that moment. But through our journeys in life, we can live knowing, enjoying the freedom that we have in Christ. And there are at least four other things or aspects of that freedom that we have received from the work of Christ in the cross. One is that we have been set free from the course of the law. We have been set free from the course of the law. And that is exactly what Paul, or the way Paul is challenging the Galatians, is to let them see that Christ has already fulfilled the law. Therefore, they did not need circumcision or keeping all the regulations in order to be saved. We have been set free from the course of the law. But also we have been set free from the power of sin in our lives. This is not that we will be able to live life without sinning because we still continue to have a sinful nature, but we have been empowered by God through the Holy Spirit to overcome temptation and sin. That you have that power, that he has given it to you because you have a new life in Christ. Also, you have been set free from the dominion of the devil. You were followers of the prince of the earth, and now you are a follower of our Lord Jesus Christ. You have been set free from the devil. And then also you have been set free from the power of death. That's the hope that we all have and we bear as Christians. That we are not called to live in fear of death, because we know that Christ has already overcome death. And through his resurrection, we will have also resurrection when we die and our Lord Jesus Christ comes. So you see, when Paul says that Christ has set us free, that for freedom Christ has set us free, he didn't mean only that Christ will deliver us from that last day when we will be before God and we will not go to hell. But there are many other ways in which we experience this freedom while we are here on earth, until we die or our Lord Jesus Christ comes. From the curse of the law, we have been set free. From the power of sin, from the devil, and from death. Now, this same message is also a challenge for you if you are not yet a believer. If you are a believer, this is a reminder for you that you have that freedom. But if you are not yet a believer, whether you are here or you are online, that challenge goes for you. That if you trust in Jesus for salvation, he will set you free. He will set you free from eternal condemnation at the end of your life, but he will set you free right now from the curse of the law, from sin, from the power of the devil, and from death. So this is an invitation also for you who are not yet a Christian. Now, after Paul says this statement, which is, for freedom Christ has set us free, then he sends a challenge for the Galatians and for all of us. And the challenge is to stand firm. He says, stand firm, therefore, and do not submit to a yoke of slavery. What we have here from Paul is basically, he's using a picture illustration. Rykon will put it like this. The picture seems to be of an ox bowed down by a heavy yoke. Once it has been free from this crushing yoke, it is able to stand erect again. So you have the animal that is bowed down by the yoke, and once the yoke is removed from him, from his shoulders, he is able to stand. Then the challenge that Paul is giving to the Galatians is that they right now don't have this yoke on their shoulders anymore, that they are standing firm. Think about how uncomfortable was the yoke for the ox, and how comfortable the ox will be or will feel after the yoke is removed from his shoulders. The same thing he's saying to them, stand firm and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. But there is an implication in what Paul is saying here, is that there is going to be always forces from within and without that are pushing you to pick up the yoke and use it again. The forces from without are those who are preaching a doctrine that is based on works and not on grace. These past days, I was made aware of a sad thing of a pastor in Colombia that I know, that has been for about a year, preaching to his congregation that Christians, as we said, that we are empowered to overcome sin, but he's saying to them that you as a Christian can live a sinless life, therefore you can be living without sin every single day of your life, and if you are sinning, basically you are contradicting the gospel. This is what he has been teaching. And therefore he's saying that you have the responsibility of keeping the law to stand right before God. This pastor is suspended right now because members of the church, members of the session, stand firm for the message that they have received, that they have been delivered from the curse of the law. And it is sad to see that a pastor who used to preach a clear message of the gospel have turned now to preach a message based on works and not based on grace. So we as Christians, as churches, will have to stand against these rivers of doctrines that will come our way from one time to another time, preaching this kind of message that is seeking to take away the freedom that we have received already in Christ. But the challenge is also from within. We have seen that there is a tendency in all of us to pick up the yoke again and live based on a gospel of works. And one of the reasons we have seen that is because the gospel destroys all human pride. It leaves you without nothing to offer to God. It shows you that you are broken and that your only hope is Christ alone. And we don't like that. We like to see or hear a message that says, you are powerful, you can do it, yes you can. And that's not what the gospel tells us. The gospel tells us that God sent his son because we needed to be rescued from our brokenness. Therefore, Paul is saying, you have this freedom, and for freedom Christ has set you free. Therefore, stand firm against those who want to submit you to the yoke of slavery, or yourself, even yourself, when you are trying to pick up the yoke again. Now, Paul, what he does in the following verses is he gives you reasons. He explains to you why it is important that you do that, that you stand firm. He gives you implications. Some of them are negative and some of them are positive. So the first set is three implications that are negative. If you don't stand firm in your faith, if you don't stand firm in the freedom that Christ has given to you, let's look at what Paul says in verse 2. I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. Remember, what the Judaizers were doing was telling the Gentiles who were Christians that, okay, it's okay that you trust in Jesus, but you also need to be circumcised in order to be saved and be counted as one of the members of the covenant community. A Gentile Galatian might say, well, what's wrong with adding to circumcision? After all, it's coming from God's word. It's in the Old Testament. What is the problem? I just get circumcised and then I have Christ and I have just in case this other part. But basically, Paul is saying Christ will be of no advantage to you because you either trust that you need Christ alone or you don't trust that Christ is sufficient for you. Because if you add, Paul will say to the Galatians, if you add circumcision, you are saying that Christ's work on the cross is incomplete. As Rykon and others will say that you need to have Moses to complete what Christ left undone. Now, we might not have the same challenge today with circumcision, but it can be anything that we can bring before God thinking that will complete Christ's work for our salvation. Therefore, this is very important for them to hear and for us to hear, that Christ will be of no advantage to you if you need or you think that you need something else in addition to what Christ has already done. So there is one of the negative implications. There is another one. If you don't stand firm in your faith and Christ's freedom, read with me what Paul says in verse 3. I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obliged to keep the whole law. So it is not just that you added something, but the work, the salvation by work system totally changed the form of how God is saving us. Basically, if you accept circumcision, for those Galatians who will be accepting circumcision, they will be required not just to add circumcision, but keep the whole law in order to be saved. And the third implication that is negative is what we find in verse 4. You are severed from Christ, and you who will be justified by the law, you have fallen away from grace. And that doesn't mean that there was a moment, Paul is saying, that there was a moment when they were in Christ, saved by grace, and they lost their salvation. But basically what this is saying is revealing that after all, they never trusted in Jesus alone for salvation. But for those who are Christians and are tempted to rely on works of the law, it means also that they don't enjoy the joy of salvation that comes through trusting that is given to us through faith in Christ alone, by grace alone. Now there are two positive implications as well. And that's what we find in verses 5 and 6. If you stand firm in the freedom that Christ has given to you, read with me verse 5. For through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. One important thing that you should notice from this verse is that we eagerly do something. It doesn't say we eagerly do something, but it says we eagerly wait. And we wait because it's a gift that God has given to us. And what is that gift? It's that we wait for the hope of righteousness. If you have trusted in Jesus today, you have been declared justified, as just, today. But there is also a moment, the final judgment, when our Lord Jesus Christ will come, that we will stand before God and we will be declared just based on Christ's righteousness and Noah's righteousness. And this is what Paul is referring here when he says, we ourselves eagerly, Christians, eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. Think for a moment what a blessing this is. If you are a believer and you have trusted in this message of salvation, you can be sure today that you can eagerly be waiting for something good to happen at Jesus' second coming. One time when we had a global outreach conference here, we visited a mosque and we asked one of their teachers if he had assurance of salvation. And he couldn't give an answer to the group that was there. He says, at the end, they will know if Allah let them in or he keep them out. There was no assurance of salvation. And I think that anyone who could be in that system, religious system, will be always in fear until he dies because there is no assurance. But if you are a believer and you have been set free from the curse of the law, that Christ has set you free, you today know that you are waiting for this moment when Christ will come and you will be declared as just. Now, based on what you did, that will always keep you in suspense and fear, and actually you will have assurance that you will never be there. But based on what Christ did on the cross, that will give you perfect assurance of eternity. And the second positive implication is what we find in verse 6. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but it says, but only faith working through love. The message of grace is not a message that speaks against good Christians' works. It doesn't speak against living life that honors Christ. Because you see that Paul preaches about that throughout his letters. But it's a message that teaches you that your good works are the result of the work of the Holy Spirit in your life that uses you to live lives that honor God. Look what he says, but only faith working through love. You have trusted in Jesus for salvation, and the Holy Spirit is in you. Look, when you go back to verse 5, he says, for through the Spirit, there is faith working through love, and love is the expression of sanctification in our life as we love God above all, and as we love our neighbors as ourselves. I'd like to look at one quote from Rycom that applies this to us. He says like this, now I am free to be who God wants me to be and to do what God wants me to do. There is nothing I have to do to win God's acceptance. Now that God has accepted me through Jesus Christ, I am free in Him. And this freedom is the key to gospel holiness. Brothers and sisters, I started reminding us of how much people fight for freedom. How much people stand for freedom when they go out to the streets for one reason or the other. But when we look at what we have here, it's the greatest freedom that you can have ever. That you have been set free through the work of Christ. Therefore, Paul is telling us as believers, stand for this freedom. Stand against what is within your heart that is pushing you to rely on yourself, and what is without that is trying to take this freedom away from you. But also, this is a message for anyone who is not yet a believer. It is the wonderful news of salvation. I have said before, Christ's freedom is offered to those who trust in Him for salvation. Therefore, if you trust in Jesus as your Lord, as your Savior, if you confess your sins before Him, if you accept that your only hope is found in Him, you can be sure that Christ's righteousness is counted as your righteousness, and that you can, with the believers, eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the freedom that you have granted us through the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. None of us in this room is able to earn this. We are broken, and the only hope that we have is that you rescue us. And you did that through the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. We praise your name, and we pray, Lord, that you will help us to stand firm in this freedom that you have given us. But we take this opportunity to pray for our friends, neighbors, relatives, and anyone we know that still don't know this freedom, that you might send the Holy Spirit to their hearts, and they might come to you in faith and trust in you for salvation as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.